It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So Nevada is out. Sorry, Reno folks who are joining us right now. I was just tweeting out some Big East dorks who were hammering the Mountain West Conference. I pointed out again, like I said the other night, CSU's win over Virginia doesn't mean the Mountain West is good. Doesn't mean they were justified in getting in six teams. Talked about small samples. Guy Alex said, laugh out loud, the entire NCAA tournament experience is based off small samples. You're right. And as you have said many times before, if you held the tournament back-to-back, you'd have a different winner almost guaranteed every time. The tournament counts. But anyone who thinks that a team who gets through and wins the title, like, they're the favorite now. If they played again, they would not be the favorite. It would be virtually the same exact odds as when you entered the freaking thing.
Yeah, people who think that the tournament is determining who's the best team, I was going to say they're ridiculous. They're idiots. You're just a moron. That's not what the tournament's determining. I guess who wins the tournament. Like, that's what it is. The entire season doesn't determine the best team. You'd have to play like thousands and thousands of games to determine that. But who's the best team after the end of the season is a much better indication of who the best team is than who wins a tournament over, 6 weeks. It's silly to think that. So it's silly to make massive sweeping judgments on very, very small sample sizes like this. But we'll see. And we'll see if, can Colorado State beat Texas, and then all of a sudden the Mountain West is good again?
Yep.
Is that how we're going to do this?
It's a game-to-game thing. We will do a version of the Big Four, but I think since the game just ended, we got to examine what just happened.
It's tough.
A 24-4 run in a game where you were up 56-39 and playing good defense and, containing Dayton, and then you just fall apart. With that kind of experience?
It's baffling. It's shocking. It's also inexcusable for a team, like you said, that's experienced, that should be able to play with that kind of a lead. It seemed like they went into full, like an NFL team that's in prevent defense, or, college football team. It was prevent defense, prevent offense. It was like, hey, just don't make a big mistake. And then they made some big mistakes. And then even then, if you go back and look, and we're here doing the show, so it's tough to examine every possession. I'd have to go back and watch it again, and I probably will tonight. There was a stretch of three possessions where Reno couldn't do anything, and Dayton made two like long contested threes in a row, and I think those were the two that cut it to three and then tied it. And I have to go back and look at them again, but it seems to me like that was where it was really, Reno came back, took the lead again later after they gave it up. They took the lead back. So there was other opportunities, and Blackshear fumbled one away, and there's just a couple things that happened there. But those possessions right there were the ones really to me, because if those shots don't go, then it's a completely different final 2 minutes. They start fouling and all that, but those two shots go down, and that to me is where the game was kind of decided. And by the way, Colorado State to me is in trouble right now, because they just held Texas without a point for over 5.5 minutes. And they're only up three.
8-5.
Yeah.
8-5.
Maybe two, because there's a free throw coming.
I don't want to come crashing down on Reno as they join us here on ESPN Reno, but what do you think Steve Alford was thinking coming into this tournament in terms of his future with Nevada? This is not the way to go out, but I wonder if he feels like he's kind of squeezed the max juice out of this whole thing. They did go for broke this year in terms of their roster.
Yeah.
I mean, I was up there for senior day. That was a hell of a senior day. They got a lot of portal work to do.
To try to go back and do it again.
Now, he's done it.
Yeah.
He's done it. And he's gotten guys who stayed 2 and 3 years. I wonder what he's thinking, especially if, your favorite school, Michigan's open, and when schools like Michigan are open or Louisville, some of the big boys, generally whoever's moving up is kind of at that mid-level, and how many good mid-level jobs are going to be open?
It does sound like Michigan and Louisville are in a bidding war for Dusty May. which is pretty wild.
You know what the funny thing is? Freaking Florida Atlantic has so much money. Maybe I don't think they would make a run at Steve Alford, but my point is jobs that are a little bigger than Florida Atlantic are going to open up.
Yeah.
And you wonder what they're thinking now, because this is disappointing. They had a senior-laden team, pretty well-rounded team, and they just didn't really play well down the stretch in the season. They took out UNLV in that finale, but Mountain West Conference tournament wasn't a great game, and this was not a good one.
It wasn't, and, you know, like, to your point of how much, you know, how often you want to do that, but that's kind of how you have to – that is kind of how you have to build rosters now for the most part in college basketball. This is the – for people that didn't get to hear the Joe Scott rant at the rant's not probably the right word. He was asked a question about how good the league is, and he talked for about 6 minutes. It wasn't, like, angry or bitter or anything like that. It was just like, hey, this is the reality of the situation. Like, these programs at the top are all – they all have, you know, money to spend. They all have NIL budgets, and they all are very aggressive, and they all have, you know, appealing programs. And every year they're going out and just finding the best experienced guys, whether it's, you know, junior.
They're never young.
Yeah, never young. It's juniors and seniors, and it's, you got to do it every year. And there's no, you know, it's not like every 4 years you're recruiting this big class and letting them grow. It's every summer you recruit a whole new team, and you're all old and you're all experienced, and you've all, you know, 3 years of junior college and a COVID year and another season somewhere else, and now you're in your fifth year at your third school. And that's how the league is building, and that's how it's going to keep going. Now, how much is the appetite for a coach like Alford to keep doing that? You know, at his age, with what he's experienced, and maybe you want to go find somewhere else. It's a little different, but you know, we'll find out. But that's what the job is now, especially at conferences like this.
So Nevada's out. They shockingly lose off a 20-24 run. Check that 24-4 run at the end of the game, and they lose to Dayton. All right, a couple of the Big Four topics I want to get into. First of all, every game now is big in terms of getting wins and also righting the ship. So what are we on deck for here with the Knights?
Well, they need to start winning games, certainly. But what Bruce Cassidy talks about isn't necessarily needing to win games, because he does realize the situation that they're most likely going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they're still like 84% at this point. But they do need to get results, so they need to get points, and they need to find their game and start, you know, blending together and finding the level that they're going to play at. They need to start finding ways to utilize, you know, puck-moving defensemen like Hanifin and Theodore, how you best utilize their minutes. They're not playing them together, but do they think about that at some point and really generating like this massive offensive line? I don't think they do that, but just finding the right combinations, finding the right guys to play together, finding who works best with Anthony Mantha, all those sorts of different things. Like, they need to find their best rotations, their best lines, their best chemistry, and they need to start putting it all together and playing at a high level. And that's what this next, you know, 14 games is about, to close out the season. I think it's 13 or 14, somewhere around there, to close out the season. And you know, that starts tonight, a big one that they have on tap. It's a nationally televised game on ESPN against Seattle. So it's going to be, you know, a challenge. But this is a game that they feel like they have to win. Seattle's kind of out of the playoff picture a little bit.
Well, by the way, what happened to Seattle?
They just fell apart. They never really had that high-end talent. They were kind of building something solid there, but they're just not as good as the rest of the teams, and they kind of found their level a little bit, I think, is basically what happened to them. Obviously, the Knights remember from Winter Classic and, you know, getting it put on them a little bit in the outdoor game, but not really the same Seattle team at this point. So they need to put them away. They need to win the game. They need to get points, and they need to keep pushing forward, getting ready for the end of the season. Looks like Logan Thompson's going to be in net, and Petrangelo is still out with an illness. But a positive side, it sounds like Tomas Hertl is about to begin skating, or at least was skating a little bit, and pretty soon he'll be available, and then we'll see about the status of, you know, some of the other guys down the road a little bit.
So the baseball season has opened up, and we got a mega story we got to get to with Ohtani and whatever is happening with this gambling scandal.
Yeah.
But first of all, Dodgers and Padres played again this morning. What happened?
One of the wildest games I've ever seen.
And you were in on this one, too.
Well, I should I say it? I mean, I was. I had to find ways to watch it.
How is that possible?
Yeah, it was blacked out. It's completely ridiculous.
How is this possible?
Well, it's also blacked out in L.A. I guess here some systems had it, but YouTube TV was blacked out because I think we are considered the L.A. market on YouTube TV.
I'll ask again to Bobby Baseball. How is this still happening? And how is it happening for a game in Korea? We're not going there on the day of.
Well,
please
it's not
stop
about attending.
This.
It's about they want a local station to pick up the TV rights to the Dodgers. That's what it's about.
This is another massive example of how ass-backwards the sport is. And again, it has me questioning, and I said it the whole time we were discussing investing in the sport. This is one of the reasons they don't get it. They're not fan-friendly. We already know we're not getting an owner who cares or has any money. But they're not even nice to their own fans. They're not. They don't even want to embrace the special moments in baseball history and present it to the fans.
No, they don't. And this was a, you know, obviously a very cool game over in South Korea, so it was fun to watch from that regard. It was also the debut of one of the most highly touted pitchers to come over in a long time, Yamamoto, who was awful.
And you think like 70 or 80% of LA didn't get to see it?
Yeah, and it was blacked out here. Now, again, I found a way. But it's silly. It's silly that's how it works out. Doesn't make any sense.
In 2024.
Yeah. In a game that had like 40 runs scored.
Mookie Betts at shortstop. I don't know.
He actually looked all right. Now, I mean, for those that, you know, if you're not paying attention to baseball closely, and this is like, first of all, yes, Major League Baseball season started with two games in Korea. The actual season starts, you know, a week and a half or whatever, but it started, and the Dodgers had Mookie Betts at second base again and Gavin Lux at shortstop, and Gavin Lux was a complete and total disaster in spring training at shortstop. So they asked Mookie Betts if he could play shortstop to keep Gavin Lux's bat in the lineup and put him over at second base where it's a little bit easier, and they're doing that, and Mookie Betts, I watched all of both games. He's played fine. There's still some adjustment period that he has to do, but he looks comfortable over there, and the offense does look very lethal.
Sounds like a hell of a story. Great stuff to track.
Sure. It's fun to watch, right?
2024. Just turn on the TV, watch my Dodgers. They're not mine, but, you know, you get my point.
Sure. Be fun.
Can't do it.
And it was fun to watch. 15-11 for those that were wondering what the score was. At one point, it was 9-2 Padres. And going after the bottom of the eighth, it was 12-11. They cut a 7-run lead down to one. And then Padres got a 3-run homer from
Manny Machado.
Machado in the top of the ninth, which is right about when I started. I was like, I got to get a nap. Like, I have to get a nap in right now because the games are starting in about 2 hours.
Nice.
Yeah.
We just did a block that was about 13 minutes long. Colorado State didn't score the entire time. Coming up, Stanford Route on the Raiders.
This game's over. Arizona, the 2 seed, advances to the second round. 85-65, trailed by one late in the first half. Closed the first half on a 7-0 run. Started the second half hot. All in all, a 22-2 run as the Wildcats pulled away and win it by 20. Moving on to play either Dayton or Nevada on Saturday.
Former Oakland Raider and NFL insider Stanford Route joins Cofield and Company now.
Well, sorry for Reno, folks. It won't be Nevada. Dayton won. Dayton a winner. Massive comeback. So the Pack is out. I would say recently some crazy stuff in March Madness. The beginning of the day was pretty calm. We'll have more updates as the show moves along. Let's talk a little Raiders football. Stanford Route is up with us, the former Raider, with Cofield and Adam Hill. Stanford, what's going on, buddy? Stanford! Oh, we'll get the connection right here in a second. Do you want to rant on UNLV fans who are very much celebrating Nevada being out about money again?
No, you can.
Is that one that hits for you?
You can do it. Just never mention.
You guys got
never mention.
Hey,
money.
Stanford.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man? How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good, man. It's March Madness, so one of my favorite times of the year.
All right. Why do you like it so much?
I mean, anytime there's a tournament or the playoffs, per se, and you get several teams that are vying for a championship, I always love to see that, especially at the collegiate level, because obviously they're not getting paid as much as NBA players. It used to be they weren't getting paid at all, but now with the NIL, they're getting paid. So, just the passion, the camaraderie, and just happen to come together for one common goal, and whoever's triumphant, and hopefully my Cougars can do that this year. I love to see it.
Does it change at all the way you watch games or the way you think about it when, you just said, like, they used to not get paid at all. Now they are getting paid. Like, should it change how we watch games? Should it change how we evaluate? Like, we used to say, hey, they're just kids or whatever, but they are paid athletes now.
I mean, maybe there's an argument to be made that it should change, but I tell you this, it damn sure is not going to change based on the way the wave and this generation is going. These NIL deals are going to get bigger and bigger. It's now gotten to the point to where when kids jump in the portal, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Okay, so how much you got for me? And that's pretty much the number one question that these kids are going to ask. So this NIL is not going away anytime soon. So whether we want it to stay or not, or whether we think that things should change and all that, that's really irrelevant, or should I say that's immaterial, because it definitely is not going to be lessening at all within the coming future.
No, it's not. And I guess I'm just asking, like, does it change the way you watch it? Like, we watch it as, like, hell, it's amateurism and all this. Hey, they're just playing for the name on the front of the jersey. Like, that's just not how it is anymore.
Oh, definitely no. I think that anytime that you have a bunch of players, whether it's men or females, NBA, WNBA, women's college basketball, men's college basketball, what have you, anytime you have that, it's always going to be people going balls to the wall, going all the way forward. Yes, it does take a little bit away from the amateurism. It takes a little bit away from the purity of the game. But nonetheless, you still see the grit. You still see the want. You still see the desire. You still see the pain and anguish with the loss. You still see that triumphant smile after a victory. So all in all, it's still a good experience to definitely go ahead and be a spectator.
Yeah, and trust me, it's still my favorite event in the world, and I am 1,000,000% in support of them getting paid. So I'm not suggesting that it's downgraded at all. I just wonder how we watch it. You mentioned your Houston Cougars. They are relentless defensively. They get all over you. They make it very frustrating to try to play offense. But they're shorthanded coming into this. How confident are you they're going to be able to make a run?
Man, I think it's just a wait-and-see approach. I think that they definitely should be able to make it to the Sweet 16 and even the Elite Eight. Now, about the Final Four, that might be something a little bit different. Hopefully they're able to make it. They're going to be in the South region. So I just want to take it one step at a time, one game at a time, and hopefully they can go ahead and they can come out on top.
How was your hoop game growing up?
Non-existent. There's a reason why I play football, guys.
I feel like most guys say that, but they probably could play pretty well. Like,
well,
the athleticism,
you,
it translates.
Well, listen, fellas, I mean, I could play defense because obviously I can move my feet and things like that.
Sure.
But, fellas, I learned at age 15 that basketball was not going to get me anywhere in life.
Well, luckily football was there for you and made a very nice career out of it. So we do want to talk about what is coming up with the Raiders in terms of looking at the draft. Corner is a need. I don't think you're able to go out there anymore. I mean, you probably still could, but I don't think you're the guy they're looking for. What should the Raiders be looking for in a corner right now?
I think they should be looking for somebody, a long, rangy guy, somebody that can cover man-to-man, because now in this AFC West, you got Justin Herbert, who now has a Jim Harbaugh. You got the Kansas City Chiefs that are now three-time Super Bowl champions. You got the Denver Broncos now with going another year, Sean Payton. We don't know who he's going to have at quarterback, but you're going to need to be able to cover. You're going to need to be able to go ahead and try to get the ball out of the air. You're not going to always be able to play zone. So somebody who can excel in man-to-man coverage, understands those man-to-man situations, and somebody that can match up with these bigger receivers that you're going to see coming into the AFC West.
Stanford, when it comes to the draft, we're seeing now reports that the Cardinals, they're open to trading that number 4 pick. if it made sense for the Raiders to make the pick, but although the top three quarterbacks are gone, would you take a chance on a J.J. McCarthy or a Michael Penix with that fourth pick if you're the Raiders?
Maybe Michael Penix, but not J.J. McCarthy, just because he wasn't asked to do a whole lot at Michigan. Not to say that he can't do it, and not to say if we even know if he can. But we know Michael Penix can sling that pill. We know that. We saw that full-heartedly. Obviously, they were not able to win the national championship game going against that juggernaut within the Wolverines. But if I have that pick at number four from the Arizona Cardinals, I'm looking at Michael Penix before I am J.J. McCarthy.
Something else that the NFL is looking at changing is the kickoff rule and maybe adopting the XFL style where the teams line up at the 30 or the 35 in front of the kicker, and it's more of like a designated zone. Do you think that the NFL should take away the kickoff altogether?
I mean, hey, guys, why don't we just go ahead and just make everything flag football? Like, why don't we just go ahead, we'll take the pads off, we'll just go ahead and have everybody with a flag right around their hip, and at any time that they catch the ball or they're running with the ball, all you have to do is just grab somebody's flag off or just go ahead and tap them on the hip like we did way back when we were in elementary school. And the thing is, I understand why the commissioner and why the league is doing this. I get it. I understand. It's all about safety. They want to try to avoid the CTE, the brain disease, and as many players as you've seen in their post-playing career be affected from those issues that I just mentioned. But here's the thing about this. Every player that signs up to play college football, high school football, enters into the draft, they are well aware of the risk that they are entering. There is nobody that enters this league that does not know the risk. What it is that the means, or should I say the end, that's what justifies the means. Because of the reward, that's what outweighs the risk for so many people's minds to be able to create generational wealth for you and your family that can create lineages that are still going to be able to benefit from your hard labor, from your years of playing in the NFL or just in the professional ranks. That's why players still go out there and do it. So I think that there always has to be that mindset and the understanding. Players know what they're getting into because the reward outweighs the risk. So this is the game of football. The game of football was designed to be physical. It's like legalized violence. There is no possible way you're going to be able to take a sport that was built off of physicality and make it safe to play. That's an oxymoron.
Great stuff, obviously, from Stanford Rout here joining us on the show. I will counter a little bit and say that they are trying to make people return kickoffs. Like, it is the goal of this, that they changed it too much. Nobody was returning it, and the play was meaningless. So they're trying to find ways to at least force teams into kickoff returns, which could potentially be exciting. I mean, that is a positive. I don't know what the right answer. That's the thing. I could say this looks silly, it looks amateur, it's a goofy play, the way that they're going to do it. But at least that play is going to be relevant, right? I mean, that's something.
True, I get that part. But the thing is, the original modification to the kickoff in general, that was because they want to eliminate guys
right.
getting a 40-yard head start, running down yep. there, and then all of a sudden you got about two or three guys that are creating what you call a wedge on kickoff return that the returner can run behind. They wanted to eliminate having a full head of steam and then running straight into a wedge and then creating the concussions, the separated shoulders, the things like that. So that's why it was modified to begin with. And I understand all that. I'm just simply saying, at the end of the day, the game of football is violent. It's physical. So I think that when you try to modify something that in its crux was already created to be violent anyways, I think you're getting into a situation where now it's overkill, where now you're just chasing your tail because you're taking away the very component as to why it's the most popular thing in the world right now, or should I say the most popular thing in our country. Football is the number one pastime in the U.S. It's the number one show in America, and it's not going away anytime soon. So I think that if you try to take it away too much, you now take away from the luster, you take away from the brand. And at the end of the day, yes, fans don't like the brain disease, they don't like the CTE, they don't like the concussions. But guess what? They still want to watch the game because they love the gladiators competing at the highest level.
Stanford, we appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for hooking up today and enjoy the rest of the tournament. Well, we're going to talk to you before the end of the tournament, so we'll talk to you next week during the Sweet 16.
Man, you guys be good. Y'all be safe out there.
Good luck, Cougs. Colorado State scored.
We're 31 minutes into the hour. When we came in,
it was 8-2.
It was, well, I think it was 8-5 because you had said, hey, the lead hasn't been expanded. They scored 3 points in a half an hour of real time. What is going on here?
What did I say when it was 8-5, though?
You did. You said they should be up by a lot more.
They're in real trouble.
All right, more updates. 2.5 minutes left in the first half, and 7-seeded Texas is up 22-11 on the 10-seeded Rams.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Westgate, nice enough to host Cofield and Company here on a Thursday. We're inside the theater. The book is, I won't say wide open, but you can walk in the book at any time and take advantage of the action rest of the weekend and, of course, next week for the Sweet 16 and for the Final Four. Right now we got Kentucky early against Oakland, 7-5, about 5 minutes in, 5.5 minutes in. Wildcats lead it, and Colorado State has been in a run of 3 points for about, it seems like, 13 minutes. Yeah. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but did they finally score? Nope. Another miss.
22-3 run right now.
Holy moly. 24-11.
Texas. Positive side, they held Texas to 24 so far.
Yeah. You know, one of the negatives is, and I said this the other day, and I don't know, I'm not with the team. I'm not around the Rams right now, but after that win by Colorado State over Virginia, it was a little troubling again to see Isaiah Stevens. And, yeah, they didn't need it. But Isaiah Stevens come out of the game, I think, with 4 points. And he, I don't know if he had the calf injury going into the Mountain West Conference tournament, but I know he tweaked it for sure and left the floor right before the half in their game. And he just hasn't looked right. And so far, I think he's 0-for-9 in this one.
And a bunch of turnovers for Colorado State as well. Yep. They actually just showed a mistaken graphic up on the screen that said one of the players averaged 121 three-pointers a game. Which
so far, how
that,
they doing?
That would be a record. No, for Oakland, I'm saying.
Oh, okay. He only has one when he averages 121 a game.
He averages 121 a game. He just made his first one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's impressive. I think he's made 121 on the season. That'd be my guess.
We'll see what happens here before the half in another Mountain West Conference battle as Texas shoots a bomb, makes it at the buzzer.
Oh, boy.
Is that Eastmas?
He was 0-for-8 before making two baskets in the last minute as well.
That was the well-traveled Max Eastmas. What?
He only played one other school, right?
Well-traveled for me.
Maybe this kid did make 121 three-pointers.
Now he's on fire?
Yeah, Golkey. He's made back-to-back.
We got a bunch of USC news to get to. I want to get to the lawsuit and the monies that may be paid out. But before that, I see these announcements every 2 months, and I'm like, I don't see the USC announcing this. Did I miss it with Conor McGregor and his announcement?
He did an ESPN interview as part of the release.
Oh!
Part of the release of the movie.
Oh, no. Yeah.
My guess is that he was, again, DeMond.
Going off script?
Oh, DeMond. Him and his promoting when people don't pay us. I said the movie.
We can't even say the name of the movie?
No. That's what he wants. That's why he said he's coming back to fighting, so people would talk about the movie that was coming out. And I wasn't going to promote the name of the movie, but yes, that is the movie that he is starring in. And that is being released. And as part of the promotion for the movie, he said, I've signed a deal. I'm coming back. Without a whole lot of details around it. Which to me was, hey, everybody, say that I'm coming back and mention the name of the movie that I'm in.
Is there a July 22nd card? Am I remembering that off the top of my head? Something like that? 303? Here?
Isn't 303 fight week? Isn't that like...
Is that fight week? So it was earlier, around 4th of
earlier,
July?
Earlier, yeah.
Okay. So Conor McGregor's back.
I don't think so. But go see the movie. What's it called, DeMond?
I don't remember.
I don't. take the chastising in stride. It may happen again.
No, I do it all the time, too. That's why I'm making fun of DeMond. But this just stems from him not beeping out the name of a product yesterday. Yes, it's the Roadhouse movie that he's promoting and wants people to go see it and is saying he's coming back. I don't know if he is or not. I will say I'd love to know what the testing situation is because it's a big factor.
Well, what do you mean what the situation is? There's going to be testing, right, no matter what?
Well, he's
no
got
more
to be
USADA.
Back in
you
it.
Can do whatever you want.
I know. They left USADA and have their own testing now. We're supposed to be in for 6 months before you can fight.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Boy, SEC's having a rough day, huh? Mississippi State blown out by Michigan State. South Carolina falling flat on their face. Is Oakland going to stick with the high-powered Kentucky Wildcats?
No.
13s with 10 minutes left in the first half.
No, they're not.
Hey, DeMond, can we get to the elephant in the room on the CBS broadcast? Well, there's actually a couple things. Did you guys know that Nance was done?
Yeah, it was a sign-off last year.
I kind of missed that whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you know that they picked Ian Eagle to be the new Nance over Kevin Harlan?
Seems like a bad decision.
Why?
Why'd they do it?
No, why do you think it's a bad decision?
Harlan is the best.
What do you think, Damon?
I agree with that.
I kind of do, too.
The best.
I think Harlan's unbelievable.
Maybe he didn't want to be pulled away from his NBA duties.
Yeah. It's also too much of a loose cannon.
What do you mean? Disciplining his broadcast partners?
Well, that and, you know, taking advantage of the goofy things that happen and rolling into them. I mean, he's so good at it. It's so entertaining. But
do you think they're penalizing him because he's, like, played
no, but I think
well he, on radio no. when there's been a streaker on the field?
No, I think he – okay, this kid has hit four now in the first 10 minutes, so maybe he does hit 121 a game. No, I think – but I think there's something to be said about – I feel like Ian Eagle is like, hey, if you do this. And he's like, yes, yes, yes.
Company
and Harlan's
man.
Like, no, I do my thing. I do what I do.
I actually think it's pretty simple. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it easy and dump that part, okay? We're going to be going to the final four, I think.
I'll tell him.
No, I honestly think a lot of this is where they're from. I think it's as simple as that and relationships that way. Harlan is a Kansas, Missouri guy. I'm 99% sure he is, but I know he lives in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Eagle was raised.
Let me guess where he went to school.
That too.
Yeah.
So, Northeast guy versus the Midwest guy. I think that's probably what it comes down to. I think Harlan is better. Ian Eagle's very good.
Stooge.
Although I think his son probably should have got the job, and they could have had someone who, you know, has a run of like 40 years as the voice. The other elephant in the room we need to get to is anyone – I know sideline reporters don't really capture the attention of many people, but I will stand up for them. Is anyone going to question the hair of Evan Washburn? Does anyone even notice?
It's pretty good.
Is it pretty good?
Yeah.
The frosted tip comb back.
That's the look. Did he have it? He had it at the Mount
what
West?
Yeah, I know he did. What do you mean that's the look?
It's the look.
And what?
It's good. It's a good look.
93?
That's solid. Don't be jealous.
Okay, I wanted to spend a minute on it because it hit me the other day because I saw him up close, and I've seen him up close before, and then I watch, and I'm like, no one's going to mention the throwback with the blonde tips? It's not really tips. It's actually streak. It's like
Steve?
Streak.
It's coming across as jealousy.
Yeah, Steve, I was going to say.
Well, believe me, it is. Trust me. If I could do it, well, I wouldn't do it. That's a thing.
On the side, because I'm looking at his interview with Coach Cal before the game.
Yeah, that's what I was just watching. Yeah,
that doesn't look good, but I also looked at a pregame picture of him just straight ahead. It looks fantastic.
Okay. I'm going to mention I am being lied to on the home front, and I've got to call it out because I think you two will call it out. Well, you might not even notice. That's the thing. You remember last week I talked about haircuts and the cost of a haircut? And I guess I shouldn't be shocked by this. I told the story of being in Reno, and I walked over to a neighborhood, and I was like, oh, there's a barbershop there. I have some time this morning. By the way, it's very – you don't want to tweet about this on a game day because Mike Romala tweeted out one day that he was watching a movie, I think before, I think at Fort Collins, before the Rebels were playing Colorado State. And Mike, of course, covers the Rebels for the Las Vegas Sun. And Mike had said, hey, I'm going to a movie today. And he got a rash of crap from some shop-busting content creators. And they were like, give us the breaking news instead of watching a movie. Okay. Get to work.
Settle down.
So I try not to talk about activities on game day. But anyway, I got a haircut. I didn't have my glasses on. It wasn't super expensive, but it's more than I pay. I'm very cheap. And I looked up, and the haircut was $35. I tipped. And
that's the haircut?
Yes, it's a haircut. And then
I'm saying the one you have right now.
Yeah,
that's
yes,
the one?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Hey, look, this is like he's starting to smile. The SO the other day was like insistent. She's like, you really need to go to a barber. That your hair looks so much more full after this haircut. And I'm like, no, no. And I'm like, thank you.
Oh, she thought it was good.
She thinks it's good, and now I think it's all part of the like the brotherhood, the sisterhood, and the salon community.
Yeah.
She wants me to go get more expensive haircuts instead of going to the chain joints.
Well, when she...
But those are people, too. They count.
When she was saying it looks good, was she, like, asking for like to go on a trip or something at the time? Like, we should go to the beach.
Trying to get something?
Your hair looks great. Maybe a suite? First-class flight?
It might look slightly better. But
did
generally,
offer
it looks...
any enhancements, Steve?
Enhancements?
That's going around in the barbershop community now, as you know. Hey, do you want any enhancements? You know, maybe.
Well,
make
you know,
spritz,
you know the answer. You know the answer is yes, but it's not the enhancements they're offering.
Oh.
You know, I'm fascinated with the O. If they were dealing O there, I would. You know what? If that's the only way I could get it, that I'd fly up to Reno to get my haircut every 6 weeks. With a nice lady who gave me the haircut.
A trim and the O?
Yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't have to administer a shot, but...
I'm saying, like, Instagram ads for the O now. I think you can get your hands on it.
Okay. I mean, is Oprah under 100 pounds now?
Yeah, I think she's, like, 92.
She's very thin.
It works.
I guess. Something's happening.
Real quick. Post yep. Malone is in the opening of said Conor McGregor movie.
Oh, yeah?
And the O's definitely working for him.
He is, like, gaunt. Look, I mean, I would love to have people go, God, you look too thin. Okay. Yeah, he's lost so much weight. Was he fat? I think he was just kind of chubby.
Well, I think he also stopped partying so much.
Yeah, but wouldn't that might make, depending on what you're partying with, that might make you fat.
Well, I think
he was snacking a lot
of alcohol. And then
empty calories at the end of the night
with
the alcohol.
Of course.
You start eating anything long times a night.
Just go with a full, a full convenience store pizza.
Those were the days.
Notice how I did that, DeMond?
Those
convenience store?
Those were the days. DeMond's like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you guys should have saw me this weekend. Oh. So much fun losing all my money. Speaking of haircuts, I'm supposed to get a haircut tomorrow, but I think I'm going to have to cancel because...
Yeah, you should pay your phone bill first.
And my haircuts are expensive.
What?
Yeah.
You guys more than Q's.
You guys don't want to know how much my barber's charging.
Oh.
But it's...
Well, does Q go every week?
He goes every week.
That's a lot, man.
My barber charges $70.
Does Q have hair?
He gets the fresh fade all the time.
Yeah, I think he's got pretty good hair.
I mean, he's holding on to what he's got, yeah. But, you know, he's got the waves. He keeps it fresh. I never
come on, if you can. Coming out of the break, take a look at Isaiah Stevens. That could be your future. Just look at his hair.
It's halftime. He's not going to
I'm saying coming out of the break. Coming out of the halftime break,
you got
take
scared,
a look at
Steve.
Isaiah Stevens.
For people that – I'm letting it grow out for everybody who's wondering. So I'm just wearing a lot of hats.
You're letting it grow out. Is that right?
Also,
not by choice.
I don't want to pay for a $70 haircut. I thought I was going to be able to afford it this week, but I can't.
That's how much your haircuts are?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I go to a very nice barber, Adam. It's not. It's more like friendship that I'm paying for.
$70 including the tip, or before tip
with enhancements?
Yes, with enhancements, with a nice hot towel, conversation. He listens to me about my problems. I should be paying him more.
Don't you can pay me. I'll listen to your problems.
You're not giving me a nice haircut.
But I also like that your barber's listening to your problems, which include I can no longer afford a phone bill. And he's like, yeah, that'll be $70.
He'll understand. He'll be like, you know what? This haircut, he'll somehow convince me that the haircut was worth
it. It's going to be a lot of convincing.
So, Damon18 on Cash App, if anybody's out there listening and wanted to contribute to the fun.
Are we doing this now?
We got a text yesterday, and someone said, it was Manny, I remember the name. He said, I'll contribute $30 to Damon's phone payment. But Manny, I tell you right now, if you sent me those $30, it would not go towards the phone bill. I would somehow try to flip it and cover the phone and the haircut.
Well, he'd also play like a 10-team parlay and try to pay everything.
Oh, my God.
And it would lose all.
Turn that 30 to 1,000? Let's go.
So you're saying you haven't hit a parlay this week. Your hockey parlay last night did not work.
Was that last night?
Yeah, it was last night.
Oh, last night, no, I was able to do a junk parlay and break even, yes. So I started with $20. I got down to $5, got back up to $19 in my account, guys. I am a whiz.
It's not even. You lost a dollar.
But, you know, ipso facto, even.
Okay.
Speaking of the text line, 702-364-1100. Got a couple minutes to get in with the code word of the day, 702-364-1100. We are giving away $24 every day through the 29th, $2,024. All you get to do is text in 702-364-1100, but do it quickly. The word is Hoover. Adam, would you like to spell it?
H-O-O-V-E-R.
Okay, text that in, and you could be in the running to win $2,024. So we got four games going on right now. Colorado State about to come out for the second half against Texas. Rams are part of the Mountain West Conference. Not good. Bad first half. 27-11. Oakland, hello, on top of Kentucky. 23-18 with 7 minutes left. That's a 14 against a 3. Iowa State, T.J. Altzelberger, Keyshawn Gilbert, former UNLVers, 19-7 against South Dakota State. And then Gonzaga, 5 minutes in, 11-6 against McNeese State. Did you have Zags or the Zags or Zaga making a run?
Sweet 16.
Okay.
Well, I think they got Kansas next. So, yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what the matchup is. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I was just looking for ways to fade Kansas in the tournament. So that was the way to do it. I don't think Gonzaga's anything special.
We want to fade Kansas for the obvious reasons.
Yeah. I mean,
we had Terrence Ogilvy on earlier from FS1. He played at Clemson. He's part of the Field of 68, and he seemed to be pushing really hard that your guy, their big Hunter Dickinson, is
not at full strength.
Yeah, hurt a lot more than he's giving off.
Well, he separated his shoulder. You know, they said they popped it back in and he's doing better, but we'll see. And obviously, McCullough's already out, so it's not just whether Dickinson is full strength. It's what do you do with that your leading scorer? And they'd already been kind of leaking oil down the stretch anyway, so it's gonna be a challenge.
Damon, is that going in the parlay? Samford plus 7.5.
It better not, because you could have got 9 earlier in the week.
Too late?
You better not play 7.5.
Wow, he talked off that one.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, no, it's already in.
He already lost. He already lost something.
Why? Because he's not getting he lost the line value, some of the line value.
No, I'm saying he already lost the parlay. It's already over.
Oh, so was that one's dead?
Yeah, he put it in before work, I'm sure, and there's already a loser. I'm sure he had Colorado State on there.
Sure did.
It's not. Come on!
DeMond is very predictable.
It's not over yet.
It's true.
Try to bounce back for the full value on the second half.
It's over for me, guys.
Oh, no. Already? You don't even get to play tonight.
He had the first half bet.
No. I just mean what I have in my account.
Oh, man.
Oh.
All right, 5 o'clock hours on the way. We'll continue to track what's happening on this Thursday in March Madness.